Today, the Supreme Court heard arguments in a trademark case that pits the giant Victoria's Secret Company against a small novelty store in Kentucky called Victor's Little Secret. At issue in the case is the 1996 federal trademark dilution statute and how far it goes in protecting a business's identity from others who use a similar name. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The case before the court today began in 1998 when Victor Mosley and his wife opened a small store in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and called it Victor's Secret. The store featured risque underwear and, in a back room, sex toys and videos. Within weeks, Victoria's Secret, the giant corporation, ordered the Mosleys to change the name of their store. They changed it to Victor's Little Secret, to no avail. Victoria's Secret took them to court, charging trademark dilution, and won. On the steps of the Supreme Court today, Mr. Mosley said he appealed all the way to the Supreme Court in an effort to prevent large corporations from censoring the little guy.
My name is Victor. Victor is a total different name, and I didn't feel there would be any problems whatsoever. Secret's generic, it's descriptive. Victoria should be able to have a secret. Victor should be able to have a secret. George, Bob, Judy, Mary, you know, no one holds a patent to the word secret.
Inside the court, Mosley's lawyer James Higgins told the justices that the name Victor's Little Secret is neither identical to Victoria's Secret nor confusing to consumers. It therefore does not dilute the lingerie company's trademark. Justice Breyer, what is dilution? Suppose a little company makes a bug spray and calls it Budweiser Bug Spray with a slogan that says, "Where there's life, there's bugs." No one would think Budweiser beer has an interest in bug spray, but Budweiser doesn't want people to see beer and say, "Yuck." Lawyer Higgins replied that the trademark dilution law requires objective evidence that consumers are confusing the two products and that there's been actual economic harm to the older product. Just because a trademark is similar doesn't mean there's dilution, he said. Justice Souter, why not? If a company decides to manufacture Kodak wrenches and consumers ask themselves, is this the camera or the wrench, why must the harm be completed before there's a dilution? Answer, there are lots of similar names, Ford Motor Company and Ford Modeling Agency, Apple Records and Apple Computers, Delta Airlines and Delta Faucets. But how, the justices asked, would a court determine if there was a confusion between two companies? The answer from lawyer Higgins, surveys and polling. Justice Kennedy, ruefully, that sounds like a lawyer's dream. Justice Scalia, you started off saying that there had to be a showing of economic harm. Now you're saying something else. What is it you demand? What? Answer, proof that our mark is lessening the value of their mark. Responding for Victoria's Secret, former Solicitor General Walter Dellinger argued that there is no requirement that a company show economic harm to protect its trademark from dilution. Dellinger, if you're Tiffany's, you would object whether someone opens a Tiffany jewelry store or a Tiffany's restaurant. Justice Scalia, that's bad? I'm so far behind in this, I don't even know if that's bad. Answer, it's bad because if you have a Tiffany's restaurant, then you could have a Tiffany's pet store and a Tiffany's shoe store. Justice Scalia, in mock horror, where will it all end? Justice Breyer, so what? Answer, it matters because a mark that once stood for one thing now stands for 1,000. If you have a famous mark like Rolls-Royce, it stands for more than a car, it denotes a certain quality. Justice Scalia, but Chevrolet doesn't? Answer, for those of us who live in NASCAR country, there is a certain appeal to a Chevrolet, but if you're Rolls-Royce and your name ends up on thousands of products, you might as well call your car a Yugo. By the time you could show harm, it would be too late. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.